Let me start with a story. It's about a, I think some of you might have read or even a story like this. It's about a young boy. He went to the river side and he saw a priest, maybe a holy man, was just sitting down and just meditating, praying. And so this boy was just looking at him, and he was so fascinated. He was saying, you know, this man is praying. I want to pray like him. And so for a moment, he was just keeping quiet, just looking at this man, admiring. And once this man was done with his prayer, this boy came rushing to him and said, you know, sir, will you teach me how to pray? I just want to learn how to pray. Can you teach me how to pray? So this man, you know, immediately this man, what he did, he grabbed the boy, which is not allowed in Canada, right? He grabbed the boy by the head and shoulders and pushed him into the water. Can you imagine? Is this the way you pray? He grabbed the boy by the head and shoulder and pushed him into the water. You know, the boy was struggling. He didn't know what to do. He was, for a moment, he was okay. Probably he was a good swimmer. Then after some time, he was just struggling, right? He wants to breathe. And finally, he was almost like going to give up. Then the man brought him out. And the boy asked him, you know, sir, why did you do that? You know, I was just, I wanted air to breathe. The man said, yes. And that is prayer. You need air to breathe because you need air to live in this world. And that is prayer. The importance of air in your life. Without air, I think none of us will be alive. And so the man said, you know, that's the way, that's prayer. Without prayer, we are just walking dead in this world. And so that's the importance of prayer. And the boy spoke to him. I do not know whether do we have Sunday school teachers like that who teach you how to pray. Hello? Right, I don't think so. They'll push you into the water, right? We thank God we don't have Sunday school teachers who will teach us about, you know, how to pray in this manner. You know, for the next coming weeks, I thought I'll be wanted to do on this particular series called The Lord's Prayer. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer by heart? Yes, I see. Wow, that's quite a number. Wow. Right. I think the Lord's Prayer is a very powerful prayer. I know you will see it in Matthew chapter 6, right? And 5 to 14. And then you will also read it in Luke chapter 11, 2 to 4. And you know, when I look at the Lord's Prayer, it tells me the Lord's Prayer is Christianity's greatest prayer. You know, many a times, you know, I do not know, in our church, we have never said the Lord's Prayer. Maybe I shouldn't use the word never. You know, I've not seen saying the Lord's Prayer. But when you look at the Lord's Prayer very carefully, you know, it's the greatest prayer. Because when you look at Matthew and Luke, just to give you some kind of background, you know, when Matthew writes about the Lord's Prayer, he's saying, you know, Jesus is saying, you know, this is the model. In other words, this is, you can pray in this way, right? You need to have all some of the things that I've actually shared with you. Your prayer should be in this kind of format or a kind of a template, right? But when you look at Luke, you know, Luke is always seen as a secondary source. Luke says, you know, this is the way that you should be praying. And that's why if you look at certain churches, certain traditions, you will see them just recite the Lord's Prayer every Sunday without fail, right? So it depends. Matthew says, no, this is something like a template for you to follow, right? That's the way that you approach God. You can pray to God. But Luke says, no, this is the template. This is the way you should be found praying. So when I look at two versions, I tell myself, you know, it helps me, right? It gives me some kind of template, you know, that I can approach God. How do I call upon Him? And this is the God who wants to hear my prayer. He knows everything about me, and, you know, I can pray to Him with having that format in my mind. Or when I'm struggling, when there are moments in my life, I do not know how to pray. Maybe we are in a hospital bedroom, we do not know how to pray. Maybe we are struggling in a situation, we do not know how to talk to God. Then I'll just lean on to Luke, right? by saying or even reciting the Lord's Prayer. Because when you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's Christianity's greatest prayer, my friend. Because when you look at, you know, Father Tertullian, right, he says, you know, it's the gospel abbreviated, right? You'll see the gospel in the Lord's Prayer. Now, many a times I do not know whether we see the gospel being taught in the Lord's Prayer. St. Augustine said, you know, everything that pertains, right, to hope is embraced in the Lord's Prayer. So the more I see the Lord's Prayer, I see hope, the message of hope, the message of joy, the message that I can trust in God. And then this man says, the most effective summary of Christian theology ever given in the Lord's Prayer. I do not know how many of us actually have gone through the Lord's Prayer in detail. Let me tell you, you know, the more you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's very powerful, my friend. It comes with a lot of theology. It talks about who God is. He talks about a God who knows me. It also tells me how I can approach God in the manner that I should be coming into God's presence, right? But many a times we recite, we say it by heart without much difficulty, but without really understanding the theology behind. Just on a side note, let me say that as we are speaking or hearing God's word today, there are numerous studies being done by scholars, right? Because they are looking at this, the Lord's Prayer, by asking certain questions, right? They are asking about the Father. Is it only for believers, right? It talks about the bread. Is it about physical bread or spiritual bread that Jesus is talking about? So scholars are just scratching their head, looking at scriptures, right, comparing, analyzing to see what is Jesus trying to say. What is Jesus trying to say about forgiveness? Because when you look at the word forgiveness here, it says, "Let forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." So is my forgiveness conditional, right? Is it based on forgiving others, when I forgive others? So scholars are asking questions like this, which is not my sermon today, right? And lead us not into temptation. You know, we struggle. Will God lead me into temptation? No way. But the Lord's Prayer says, lead us not into temptation. So does God lead us into temptation? These are some of the things. So the more I look at it, it looks very simple, right? It's very profound. The Lord's Prayer is very profound. At the same time, I think it calls us to, you know, to study hard and to discover what God is trying to tell us. You know, two realities comes up when you look at the Lord's Prayer, right? When you today I wanted to focus on this phrase, right, called Our Father. Our Father, he says. That's how Jesus starts by teaching them. Two realities I see here. You know, when you look at, when Jesus said, Our Father, you know, when I look at it, I see two important fundamental truths that's coming up. It says that God is near, the eminence of God, right? He's my Father, right? My Father is not far away. He's just beside me. And that's why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, I'm there. The eminence of God. God is near. He's around. He's sitting beside me. He's just behind me, or even beside me, or in front of me. But be careful, because don't take that for granted, right? Sometimes we treat God, you know, as if God is just an ordinary friend. But that's why, you know, Jesus taught them by saying, Our Father in heaven, right? So in other words, I see the transcendence of God. He's not only near, but this God is all-powerful, almighty, right? So I need to come into his presence with a lot of reverence. He's just, yes, he's my friend, but I come with a lot of reverence. He's my God. I come with a lot of love and fear before him, because he is a God is in heaven. So God is just beside me. At the same time, you know, God who's just almighty, transcendence, all-powerful, right? The creator of the heavens and earth. And then, you know, another important reality which I see here is Jesus teaches us by saying, Our Father. Look at the text very carefully, right? If you read Matthew chapter 6, you realize Jesus is always using the word, Your Father, Your Father, your Father, your Father. But then when he comes and talks about going into your room to pray in your private space, he says, address God not as your Father, but our Father. Not my Father, but our Father. I was just trying to understand what Jesus was trying to say. Right? The entire Matthew chapter 6, you see, he is using your Father, your Father, your Father. But when you go into your room, when you start praying, he says, you don't call him my Father, but you call him our Father. Our Father. So I think this is what Jesus is teaching us. I think that we need to have a community spirit. In other words, when I come into the room of prayer, I don't just come alone. I come as a body of Christ. I come as a person, right, whom I'm sharing my life with others. I come with people who are around me. So in other words, it's not about me in my prayer. It's about us, a life that is shared with others. And that's why, I think that's what Jesus is teaching us. When I come into my room to pray, it's not about me, Lord. It's not about my need. It's about our. It's us, the church, my people, you know. And I need to come with that kind of consciousness. And secondly, if you look at the word very carefully, you know, it also says, right, it's a kingdom life. It's a kingdom life. In other words, when I look at the word very carefully, our Father, it doesn't talk about status. It talks about equality. There is no room for status here. It's our Father. Pastor Vincent's God is your God, right? So God is, he talks about that, you know, that we need to come with that kind of thing, mentality, my friend, a kingdom mentality. There is no status in the sight of God. And so I come, right? I come with the spirit of community that's in me. I come because, right, in Christ's presence, is all of us are equal. There is no rich, no poor, not intelligent people or even unwise people. All are equal in the sight of God. And that's why if you look at Paul's writing very carefully, I like the way Paul writes. Whenever Paul uses the word you, Y-O-U, right? In our language, it sounds very singular. But in Paul's writing, you know, it's singular but plural kind. In other words, Paul uses the Greek text in such a way, he uses the word you as a singular, but actually at the background, it's plural. And that's why he talks about when you come, you're coming as God's body, but you're coming as one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not talking about a person. When I come, I'm coming not as myself, but I come with the body of Christ, the people who love Jesus. And that's the way Paul uses the word you in most of his writing, my friend. And so it at the same time, when you look at it, you know, it talks about Christian life is not lived in isolation. And you look at the word our Father, right? You cannot live your life in isolation. You cannot grow your Christian life in isolation, my friend. You need to have in the company of God's people. Look at the early church. Look at the believers of the early church, right? None of them lived a Christian life in isolation. It was always a community. They came together. They break bread together. Right, they grew together, they witnessed together, they shared God's love with one another together. And so you can never live a Christian life in isolation. You need the body of Christ. You need a community of Christian, of like-minded believers who want to love Jesus and to be like him. And that's why the church is always seen as a community. And that's why Paul always emphasizes, you know, the body of Christ, the importance of each and every member in the body of Christ, because we cannot live. And also, the Lord's Prayer also teaches us about shared life with others, and Christian life grows deeper, deeper, right, when we live in a community, my friend. And so these are the two realities, right, that Jesus is teaching us when you look at the Lord's Prayer. When I look at the Lord's Prayer, you know, one of the great lessons that I learned, which I want to share at least two thoughts today, and I'll finish, it's, you know, I can approach God. And how do I approach God? Right? This important phrase tells me, you know, that I can actually approach God with a lot of confidence because He's my Father. Right? He's my Father. He's not my distant uncle. It's my Father who's just with me. He's in my household. He's there with me. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach. You know, when you look at the word, you know, sometimes we take for granted, you know, Jesus is saying our Father. But you know something? When Jesus used the word our Father, if you realize, the Pharisees were always against Jesus. Have you realized? Today we will say our Father without any fear, right, without any problem. But in Jesus' time, when Jesus used the word our Father, when He uses the word Father, the Pharisees were just dead against Jesus. Because in the Jewish culture, my friend, you know, you cannot call God your Father. And so what Jesus is doing is a radical departure. The Jews will never call God as their Father, even though they see themselves, they are sons of God. But they will never see God as the Father, but as, you know, and I was just reading this study that was done by this great German scholar by the name of Joachim. And he says that, you know, in his study, he says, you know, he has been looking at the rabbinic writings and also the Old Testament writings. He realized that none of the scholars, the writers of those days, ever used the word Father. In other words, in a very personal way. It's only after the 10th century they started using the word our Father. They saw God as the Father, creating some kind of distance, right? But then after the 10th century, they started using this. And so when I see Jesus saying this word, He's telling us, you know, you have all the right to call my Father as my Father. It's a radical departure. The Pharisees will not allow, the Jews will not accept, because you cannot call God as your Father. He's there. But what Jesus is teaching us today, you and I can come to God's presence with full confidence, with all the privileges, by calling, Lord, you are my Father. I need not distance myself with you, but I can just call you as my Father. It's a radical thing. It's a privilege, my friend, today when we call or use the word our Father. I do not know whenever you use the word our Father, if you ever consider it's a privilege. It's a privilege that was just done because of what Jesus did. And Jesus taught the disciples, you have the privilege. You can call my Father as our Father. You have the privilege. And so today, you know, so when I come into the Lord's presence to pray, you know, I always tell myself, Lord, I need not struggle. I can come and call you because what you taught me and what you did at the cross for me. Secondly, when you look at it, you know, why should I? I can come when I used to see the word our Father with confidence because I'm adopted by God, right? In Romans 8:15, it says that I'm adopted by God. Look at the words very carefully. It says about sonship. It talks about children, right? At the same time, it talks about co-heirs. I just want to just concentrate on this word, sons. You know, today I know, we want to be gender neutral, right? Do you know something? Did you read the papers? There's a change in the O Canada song. They've changed a short phrase. I do not know the O Canada song, but I know there's one phrase that talks about all sons and all that. Now they have changed it to gender neutral. So I asked myself when I was studying this, Lord, why did you use the word, you know, sons? Lord, you should have been gender neutral. You should be more proactive kind of a thing. But very interesting, you know, when you look at the text very carefully, you know, Jesus uses the word, you are sons of God. Right? Because, you know why? Because Jesus is also a son of God. Jesus is also a son of God. And so he doesn't use another word. In other words, Jesus says that you're also a son of God. In other words, no, you have the equal privilege. I can call God my our Father, and you too have the privilege because you're not just ordinary person, but you're also a son of God, a child of God. You're co-heirs of his suffering and the glory that is prepared for us. And that's why Jesus uses the word sons, not another term. Right? Not another term, my friend, because another term will say that we are lesser. He says, you have all the equal right to call my Father as our Father. The way I call him, the way I address him, you can also come with that kind of full confidence. Let's ask us this question. Do we have that kind of confidence when we come? When we come into God's presence, when we say, Lord, our Father, do you realize we are able to do that because of what Jesus not only have taught, but he gave his life for us, right? It's a radical departure. And today, because of what Jesus have done, I can call him, you know, my Father, our Father, right? Because you know why? I'm adopted as his son. I looked at the word very carefully. In the Jewish culture, and I should say this, you can disown your child, right? You can go to the lawmakers and then, or even the lawyers, and then you can disown your child. But why God uses the word adopted, but not just son? Have you ever asked yourself? Because in the Jewish culture, as I said, you know, you can disown your child, but you cannot disown your adopted child, my friend. You can disown your own child, your flesh and blood, through legal means, but you cannot disown an adopted child because you have taken the child to be part of your family. You cannot do that. Your own legal child, you can just disown them. And that's why, you know, God says, you know, I've adopted you. I don't want to disown you. Right? That's, and so because of what Jesus have done, I can come to him with full confidence, my friend. With full confidence. I don't know how's your prayer life when you come to Jesus. Do you have that kind of confidence? When you call him Father, do you realize, you know, it's a privilege, it's an honor, right? I'm not worthy, but Christ have actually adopted me to be his own. And lastly, let me finish with this. You know, it says, you can approach God boldly. It says the spirit of intimacy and familiarity. If you look at Romans 8:15, if you look at it very carefully, you know, Jesus uses the word Abba, right? Abba. And it's very interesting, the word Abba. When you look at the word Abba, you know, it is used by a child. It is one of the first word a child uses to address the father. Right? And do you realize, you know, when you grow up, you know, when you use your, you call your dad a different name, and after you grow up, you call him dad, or sometimes you might call him D, right? And maybe when this was the early, the early word that was used by a child, calling in a very simple form, right? My dad, Abba, Abba, Abba. So Jesus, that's why when you look at Jesus' prayer, Jesus is always calling God Abba, like a small child, because he sees God, you know, I have that kind of intimacy with God, that kind of relationship with God, that I need not come and say, Abba, with a lot of fear. It's Abba, my father, right? I did not tell myself, oh no, this is the way I should address God. I just opened my heart and my mind and say, Abba, like a small child, like a baby, just calls the dad without even thinking, you know, how should I pronounce, am I pronouncing it well? So it shows about the intimacy that the child, you know, has with the father. And that's what Jesus is doing in all his prayers, except one prayer, Jesus doesn't use the word Abba. But every prayer, this is the term that he's using, as a small child calling upon God, my friend. Do you realize when we call today, when we pray, we are so conscious, right? When we go to a Baptist church, we want to pray in such a way so that we will be accepted by the Baptists. When we go to the charismatic church, you know how they pray, right? You also want to pray so that your prayer will be accepted. When you go to an Alliance church, maybe there's a way they pray to God, and then you want to pray in that way because you want to be accepted by others. But Jesus says, no, that's not the way. You just call him Abba, the way, the simplest term, right? Because that's the way we need to be, just seeing God. He's my Father. The intimacy that we have with him. At the same time, my friend, when you look at the word very carefully, you know, it also shows that word, Abba, like our Father, it also shows that we have a unique access to God. So in other words, you know, you have access to God. Just imagine, you know, if you're the president of Canada. In Canada, they don't have president, right? They have prime minister because it's parliament rule. So you're the prime minister, right? So you don't have access to the prime minister, right? You need to go through different channels. But if you're the child, you have unique access. Your dad might be the greatest man, right? The greatest man in this planet, to others. But to you, you have a unique access anytime. Anytime. He might be the great man for others, but for me, I have easy access to him. I have a unique access to him because he's my Father, and that's what Jesus is saying. You have a unique access to him because of his grace, because of his love for you. Yes, he's the King of the world. He's the Creator God. But I have a unique access because, you know, he dwells in my heart. He lives in my heart. And I belong to him. And so I can call him anytime. I have access to God. Anytime, my friend. And I can come to him boldly. You pray to God, how do you come to him? Do you come boldly? Right? Do you just simply open your heart and say, Lord, you know, this is me. And that's what Jesus wants us. Just be yourself when you're in the Lord's Prayer. Always in your prayer. Just be yourself. That's why Jesus said, you know, he's talking about hypocrites, you know, about the Pharisees and all that. You know, they're very careful in the words they use. They want to impress people. They want to be good in their vocab. But Jesus, no. You just call him our Father. I just come with that kind of boldness. Just call. So when you come to pray, you know, how do we come to him? Do you realize that you have unique access, my friend, to God? Yes, he's the Creator, but I have an access to him. He's the Lord of Lords, but I have a unique access to him because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. Lastly, let me finish with this question. Do you see yourself as God sees you? You know, God, Jesus told us that we can call God as our Father. Right? Do you see yourself the way God sees you? He sees you as his child, and that's why he said, call me our Father. Use that word Father, because you know what? I see you as my child, a child that I love, right? A child that I care, a child that I want to be there for. And that's why if you look at Scripture very carefully, he says, I'll be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters. At the same time, in 1 John 3:1, it says, how great is the love of God that lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Right? Today, my friend, God sees us as his child, his loved one, his sons, co-heirs, and say, he says, just call me. Just come with confidence. You have all the right to call me Father, right? Because I've adopted you as my child, as my son. You can just come, pray, right? In the way you are. You need not to pray, you know, this is the way, this is the words, I have to be careful. Yes, I need to show reverence to God. I'm not saying no to that, my friend. You know, just open your heart. It might not be structured well. It might be broken language. But let me tell you, God hears us. And that's what. If you realize when your child are growing up, when they come and talk to you, you know, sometimes they use broken language, but you just enjoy listening to them. You don't make fun of them. Their grammar might be not good, you know, but you just enjoy the way they use the words, the way they express themselves. I think God enjoys because he sees you as your child, as his child, my friend. Let's pray. Can you imagine for the first 10 centuries the Jews were afraid to use the word father. Even though they saw themselves as God's son, but they were afraid to use the word father. But Jesus invites us by saying, call him our Father. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us, today you and I can call the Almighty God, the Creator God, the King of this world, as our Father. As our Father. Sometimes, you know, when we come to God to pray, we are so conscious, we are so careful in the words that we use. But God says, you just come because you have a unique access to me. You can just talk to me in whatever language, in whatever way you want. I just love to hear you. Today, my friend, before I pray, I want you to just take a moment. And this God, who is our Father, wants to hear us. And he says, talk to me because I want to hear you. I'm your Father. Just tell me. Just pour your heart to me. Just be yourself and tell God. Just take a moment to talk to our Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we can call you as our Father, Lord. And today it's all because of what you did at the cross of Calvary. Today we adopted a God into your family, Father. not just as an ordinary child, but as your son. That I have some equal standing with Jesus. And Jesus says, come, you have all the right. The way I call him, you can call him. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege. We love you once again. In Jesus' name we pray.